You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining me here today, friends. Happy Tuesday to all of you, and thank you for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be hearing a series that I just wrapped up. Actually, I'm wrapping it up this week, but we've wrapped up the look at the seven churches. We just went through and looked at the Lord's address to all seven churches found in the book of Revelation. There's two ways, and I'm teaching this way, there's two ways to look at this. And that is, you can find yourself in any one of these seven types of churches. See, certainly there was more than seven churches in Asia when Jesus wrote this. Had the Apostle John write this down, send it to the pastors of these churches, there was more than seven. But you could be a member of any one of these seven. This week, we're looking at this loveless church. There's a compromising church. There's a dead church. There's a faithful church. There's a lukewarm church we're going to look at, worldly church. You could be a member of any one of these. We're looking at the evidence. It's my prayer the Holy Spirit would show you which one of these churches you are in. Also, another way to look at this is these all represent seven different ages that the church will go through up until the time of the return of the Lord Jesus. In that way of looking at it, the lukewarm church will be alive, or actually dead, and in operation when the Lord Jesus returns. So here today, and probably tomorrow, we'll wrap this up then, looking at this loveless church at Ephesus, the church that left their first love. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, the Lord says, "Nevertheless, I've got somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." I heard Adrian Rogers say the other day, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ less today than when you first were saved, then you've backslidden. Do you find yourself in this loveless church? Where this is what we're going to hear here now today. Let's go to part two now of this message, the loveless church.
Notice, please, the true, genuine response of a person who has seen royalty. You don't write a book about it. You don't pal around with Jesus. You fall on your face in awe. This is what happens when you come face to face with the Son of God. You don't yuck it up with Him. You fall down on your face. Isaiah saw Him and he said, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm ruined." Knocked Paul right off of his horse. When you run face to face with the Son of God, down you go. In awe of His splendor and majesty. And Jesus' response, yet, in spite of all that, "Fear not." Verse 17, "I'm the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." Now, like I said last week, Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead, and He rules supreme. He has the keys of death, and He has the keys to hell, or Hades. Now, the way I see it, a key can either lock or unlock a door, right? And the Lord Jesus has the key. He's got the key to death. That is, he's got the power to release you from death. He has the power to raise you up from the grave. He has the power and the authority to decide what to do with you next. And that depends on you and the choice that you make. Think about that. Jesus Christ has the keys to death. He can lock you in, or he can unlock the door, open the door, and let you out into paradise. Hallelujah. It's your choice. It's your choice. Death or life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. God loves you. God loves you. Does that infuriate you? It makes you glad, doesn't it? It's your choice. Here's the last two verses. Launch us into chapter 2. There's 100 million people out here today that would be infuriated if I told them God loved them. These people are deceived. They've been snowed by Satan. They don't understand. They're in a fog. Verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be. Notice past, present, and future. Write the things thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angelos of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands or candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Okay, now let's look at this first church here, the church at Ephesus. We call this church the loveless church, each one of these seven churches. Now, I believe each one of these seven churches represents the whole age of the church, from the beginning to the church over here at the end of the age that's going to be alive and sick when the Lord Jesus returns, which I believe is the church we're living in right now. The lukewarm church, but that's for 7 weeks from now. Here today, we're looking at the loveless church. Sound in doctrine, but deficient in love. Now, there's a bad rep to have. Sound in doctrine, but deficient in love. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I have become as a sounding brass and a tinkling or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Without love, you are nothing. You've got nothing. You are nothing. And this is the problem here at Ephesus, and a potential problem anywhere. So let me give you two more scripture verses. John 13:35. By this all men will know you're my disciples, that you love one another. And 1 John 3:14. By this we know we've passed from death unto life, that we love the brethren. This here is what really needs to be in the front pages of your hymnals. I've been to some churches, I've visited some, where on the hymnal they got the statement of faith of what they believe. You open them up, and on the first page, a lot of churches have, we believe the evidence of our salvation is speaking in tongues. I say to you, the evidence of your salvation is the love that you have for your brother. That is the true evidence of your salvation. Not speaking in tongues. It's Christian love. And now here in Ephesus, they too are suffering from a love problem. So now for the next 7 weeks, we're going to be nosy and we're going to read somebody else's mail. One last bit about these next 7 weeks. Yes, they were letters whose original audiences were somebody else. But so was Colossians. So was Galatians. So was Paul's letter to the Ephesians 30 years earlier. So why is Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus relevant, but Jesus's, well, that doesn't apply to us. That just applied to them. Have you ever heard that? Mostly that comes from Presbyterians that don't believe in Bible prophecy. Hello, the whole New Testament is a book of what? 27 what? Thank you. Letters. But you don't want to believe these seven. Yeah, this letter was addressed to somebody else. But if I can glean something or some word of instruction or correction or encouragement from a church that left their first love, or from a church that's dead, or from a church that's like all seven of these, a church that was persecuted, a church that was compromising, if I can glean something from that, that's what I want to do, right? Amen to that? All of these examples are in here for us to learn from so that we don't commit the same mistakes that they did. All right, first off, back to verse 19 of chapter 1 here. A key verse in understanding this whole letter here, this whole book. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. This is the key to the structure of this book, a threefold division. The things which you saw, that is John's vision of heaven and of Christ, and the things he saw in heaven. Number two, the things which are, that is these seven letters to these seven churches. And number three, the things which shall be hereafter. That would be chapter 4, verse 1, when that starts. Past, present, and future. Now verse 20 will help us understand what we're about to read. Verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the messengers or angels of the seven churches. The seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Verse 1 now, chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand. Who are the seven stars? I just said it. Who are they? The pastors to the churches, right? These things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. So again, angel means messenger or pastor. Now, 30 years earlier than this, Paul's protege, Timothy, was the pastor of this church. Did you know that? Also, John the Apostle, who wrote this letter, lived in Ephesus. Not that long ago, before he was sent to the island of Patmos. Now take a note of Jesus' relationship with the churches. He holds the pastor of the church in his hand. And to that I say, thank you, Jesus. He walks in our midst. You just can't see him. He walks in our midst. This is why the church is such a special place.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time.